Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims and joining me this morning is the other Sims, Deanna. So we joke around about this every year, don't we? No relation, just happen to have the same last name, Deanna Sims, with the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County, the Executive Development Director. Good morning, Deanna. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Thank you for inviting us.
Sure thing. Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus, and In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Deanna, we visited last year. I believe you've now been with the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County for a couple of years, and I think this was this last visit we had maybe a little over a year ago was our first visit together.
Yes.
With you in that capacity. You had worked for the Mentoring Alliance, were with UT Tyler for a good while. Strong background in community and nonprofit work that you brought to the table with you when you joined the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County. So just a little bit about you, but now about the Children's Advocacy Center. A little bit of history, if you could, how it all got started, and basically a rundown of who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Yes. Well, about 20 years ago, I think the East Texas Crisis Center helped to form, along with a group of community leaders, the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County. There actually are 71 Children's Advocacy Centers throughout Texas now. And up until the time that a Children's Advocacy Center existed, when a child made an outcry of abuse, they were shifted from place to place and many times had to tell their story over and over again in emergency rooms, at the DA's office, at the police station, and many times were re-traumatized by the retelling of their story. Many times they also were not as able to get an effective synopsis of that story to be able to use in court. So we are just so thankful that now we have a place that's a child-friendly environment where a child can come and tell their story one time in a recorded interview and then receive a myriad of services and resources for that family to help them go through the healing process as a result of the abuse they've experienced.
And basically this is all about working with the criminal justice system. The parents or the abusers are going to be on trial for the most part, I guess, and the children need to tell their story so justice can be done. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's basically what it comes down to, right?
That's right. We see child victims of physical and sexual abuse, and our goal is to reduce trauma for them. And there's a unified effort that facilitates those investigations and prosecutions and then the healing of children and their families. There's what's called a multidisciplinary team that works together. It's one of the first public-private partnerships that I've seen in a nonprofit where you see law enforcement and CPS and the medical community come together with the staff of our organization to work together to determine what's best for every child in their case.
Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, this all grew out of another good friend of ours, the East Texas Crisis Center.
That's right. So that's right.
Strong partnership there as well, needless to say. John Sims on In Focus this morning. Good morning. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Deanna Sims with the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County. The website is www.cacsmithcounty.org, and I see that you have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as far as the social media qualifications, so lots of ways to get in touch. The phone number is 903-533-1880, and the Children's Advocacy Center physically located at 2210 Frankston Highway, and it's kind of neat to have the sort of new Walmart right there on the Frankston Highway, right across from the Tyler ISD administration building to give people a better idea of exactly where you are located, I should say. Hours of operation Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Fridays from 7 to 5 if people want to drop by and learn a little bit more about you. Dedicated, again, to child victims of physical and sexual abuse, striving to reduce trauma through what you term a unified effort that facilitates thorough investigations, effective prosecutions, and the healing of the children and their families. Just to kind of summarize it again. Now, by the numbers, in 2015, the forensic interviewers at the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County interviewed 384 children. In 2019, big jump.
Big jump. We interviewed 803 children this year. And there has been just a trajectory of growth that's been phenomenon. We had, I think, way back in those days, there were maybe 7 or 8 employees there, and we now have a staff of 28 people that are taking care of the children that we serve. A lot of people have asked us the question, has your growth meant that there is more child abuse in Smith County? And our answer is, we don't think so. But what we do know is that, for one thing, some laws have changed to allow us to directly see the children who have been abused first. We have what's, for instance, if an outcry of abuse has been made on a child, that intake information goes directly to law enforcement and to CPS, but it also comes to us, and we are able to be the first line of defense to be able to schedule and coordinate a forensic interview for that child, and that's helped some. A big growth, though, has also been because we are out in the community doing community education presentations in the schools, and those children are more and more beginning to understand for the first time, many of them, that child abuse is wrong. Many of them, for them, this has been the norm in their home.
Mm-hmm.
For others, many times there has been someone who's told a secret to another child, and they now realize that this secret is not one that's to be kept. They also begin to learn a little bit about what abuse is, and that it's appropriate for them to always tell a trusted adult until someone believes them.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into all that because it's very interesting. It really paints a picture of how you go well beyond, as busy mm-hmm. as you're kept with your basic function in the community, there's a lot more that's going on mm-hmm. there, and we certainly mm-hmm. want to cover all of that. So basically, somebody reports child sex abuse, the wheels get in motion, and very, very early in the game, the Children's Advocacy Center gets involved and just basically kind of shepherds the child through that entire process. Is that
yes.
it in a nutshell?
That's right. You know, some of the stories you hear about on the news, others you do not. They will quietly just tell what happened, and the CAC professionals and partners work the case, and they're finding the best solution for these children, and they're providing every service available to try to bring healing, safety, hope, and justice to the children. So,
As far as reporting suspected child abuse, you want to call law enforcement as soon as you are able to do that. And there's also a child abuse hotline, and I have that down as 1-800-252-5400, or you can call 911 if it is an emergency. So
that's
first
exactly
you have
right.
to report it, and again, the wheels just kind of get in motion from there. There are a number of ways ways you help, and first of all, internally and also externally, and this is where we get into some of the areas where people may not realize all the different things that you do. The very first item under the internally list is forensic interviews. Tell us a little bit about that, how it works, and how it fits into the overall process.
Okay. We provide a very safe and neutral site for a child to tell their story. That's probably the first way that a child is connected with us. They come for a forensic interview, and we have specially trained, some are bilingual, forensic interviewers. Many of them have a background in either criminal justice or education, and they are trained to conduct very neutral, age-appropriate interviews for children, some as young as 2. Some as old as 17.
Wow.
We have, with those 803 children that we saw this last year, there is a very strong across-the-board age range, gender, ethnicity, demographic, and economic diversity. We have, I guess the average age is about 8 or 9, but we have big boys in football letter jackets coming through our door and little bitty children that are just learning to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So we have quite the variance of age ranges in our building that come for their forensic interviews. They come to this room where they are recorded. There is a camera that has a live feed to an observation room, and in that observation room we have law enforcement and CPS that are observing the interview. And then once that recording is complete, we turned that information over to law enforcement and CPS for them to pursue the case, both for the child's family and for the crime if one has been committed. And then we began the next step of the process with that family. That would be family advocacy. We have staff members who are similar to social workers or caseworkers that actually are assigned to each family, and they greet them, they explain the process of what's happening, they also provide any emergency resources that may be needed for that family. They help them, you know, you think about if a child has been abused, 9 out of 10 children who are abused know their perpetrator. So it may be an extended member of their family, it could be a neighbor, could be a coach, but if it is someone within their family, many times that home life has been completely disrupted. Now, that does not necessarily mean that they go into the foster care system. As a matter of fact, only about 10% of our cases do, and that's where we overlap some with CASA. Some people kind of get us confused with CASA.
Court-appointed special advocates. We'll talk more about
that
in a moment. Yeah.
That's right. But for 90% or so of our cases, our children are able to stay in their home. But in order to do that, many times the breadwinner may have been the one that was the perpetrator. And in those cases, that mom or grandmother or aunt or whoever's helping is needing some resources. So we are talking about jobs. We're talking about gas cards to get to therapy. We're talking about, do they need car seats, diapers, you know, all the different things that, that a family may need that have unexpectedly had their lives disrupted by this trauma.
Mm-hmm. Deanna Sims is joining us this morning. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Deanna is the Executive Development Director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County. And just taking a moment to let you know that you can find them on the web at www.cacsmithcounty.org, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Phone number 903-533-1880. They're at 2210 Frankston Highway in Tyler, and the hours of operation Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. You mentioned CASA, court-appointed special advocates, a minute ago. Also a frequent guest on this program and very visible in the community. Why don't you take just a moment to explain the distinction between CASA and Children's Advocacy Center?
I think that acronym gets people confused because we both care for children and many times abuse children. But CASA are specifically focused on volunteers that help move children through the court system who have been placed in foster care. If they have not been placed in foster care and there has been a crime perpetrated against them, such as abuse, the Children's Advocacy Center is the organization that works with them. We do a lot of preparing children for court and even accompanying them to court. But if they are in the foster system, then we do have an overlap and we do coordinate together and work together very nicely.
Mm-hmm. And it's all part of that teamwork. And how convenient that the next item on our list of ways you help internally is that multidisciplinary team, because it's you and it's CASA. And we went over this a little bit earlier, but can you maybe go into some more details about how that multidisciplinary team works together?
Yes, the multidisciplinary team consists of law enforcement, CPS, our medical practitioners, the district attorney's office, and professionals at the CAC. As a matter of fact, even our board of directors, John, has on it the DA, the sheriff, the police chief, a medical supervisor, a CPS supervisor, in addition to community leadership who are volunteers. So we have a group of people who are all working together in our community to help address what is best for each child. And this multidisciplinary team meets twice a month to go over every current case for a child to make sure they're not missing anything, that they're communicating well, and that everything is done in the best interest of what that child needs.
And we have medical forensic health exams, also a very important part of your work.
Yes, many people don't know that we have actually a little medical clinic set up there in the CAC. So when a child has been sexually abused, they are able to come and receive an exam there with our nurse practitioners. We also have a forensic sane nurse that's there full time. And we are very proud to say that that's one of probably the most healing environments for the children who come to our center. We provide follow-up exams. And for many children, you think about it, if they've been abused or neglected, some of them have also not had good pediatric care.
Right.
So we do make sure that we check them stem to stern and spend a lot of time developing trust, helping them to understand that's what happened, what has happened to them is not apparent to someone on the street, that they are healthy and that they will be fine. We also check for diseases and other things that could be apparent. One of the things that can happen is that that forensic medical examiner can also be called to court because they are an exception to the hearsay rule. So anything that that child tells that medical examiner, they also can testify to in court that can be used to help support a case.
Okay. The Rainbow Room, for a lot of people, that's one of the more high-profile things that you do. And again, a very key part of what your work at the Children's Advocacy Center.
Yes. So we have both Child Protective Services and our family advocates use those resources to be able to help children in our community who need emergency resources. Probably, of any organization I've known anything about, John, this is probably an organization that I've seen more in-kind donations given. And it's because we have so many expendable resources that need to be given. There's actually a wish list on our website that tells the kind of supplies that are needed for our Rainbow Room. But one thing that we always need a lot of are diapers, wipes, car seats, pack and plays. Those go right out the door pretty quickly. We also have a lot of cleaning supplies. We have ways to connect children to clothing and other things needed as they are transitioning to possibly sort of a different normal for them.
Okay. Deanna Sims, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims, and we are talking about the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County, of which Deanna is the Executive Development Director. Moving on to things that you do to help on an internal level, court education and accompaniment, also a very important piece of it.
Yes, we have a program called Kids in Court, and it's actually a little curriculum that we go through for a few weeks, but in addition, there's a little wooden play set that's set up exactly like a courtroom and helps a child to understand what the courtroom's going to look like, where they're going to be seated. In Texas, the perpetrator has an opportunity to face their accuser, has the right to face their accuser. So many times a child has to be in the room for the first time with the person who has allegedly abused them. And so we try to do everything we can to protect that child and their family. Many times, too, family members will not be present in the courtroom with that child because they themselves are witnesses. And so we make sure that we are available for that child to accompany them to court, to provide clothing if need be, to for appropriate court appearance, and to sort of help them to understand what that whole experience is like to help make it a little less scary for them.
All right. And trauma-focused therapy. What goes on with that?
That's a very specialized kind of therapy that helps guide children through the trauma that they've experienced. For children who've gone through trauma, you know, life is never the same, and they are many times just in survival mode. And unfortunately, that can show itself up in a lot of negative ways in their life. As a matter of fact, some of those, the effects of trauma in children that have been abused, can have negative impacts like post-traumatic stress, depression, anxiety, relationship difficulties, aggressiveness, substance abuse, self-harm, suicide, alcohol, drug abuse, cognitive difficulties, juvenile delinquency, and later adult criminality and abusive behavior themselves. You know, it's amazing how many wounded adults are walking around who have had a secret in their lives. We know statistics tell us that a good number of our adults in Smith County have suffered abuse themselves. Mm-hmm. And for many of them, they were never able to receive the trauma-focused therapy that they needed. And so it has to come out in some way, and it does. So therapy is the way that a child can go back to living their childhood and go back to the healing that they deserve. And we are very proud of our therapy programs. They're not only research informed, they are evidence-based, and they are they have a way of pre- and post-testing to help a child, to help us understand if a child has worked through that trauma and is able to function. You know, some children deal with hurts more with more resiliency than others. And so the amount of time that a child may stay in therapy may be just a few weeks or it could be years. But all of that is at no cost to them or their protective caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Talking again to Deanna Sims, Executive Development Director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County, online at cacsmithcounty.org. Phone number is 903-533-1880. Make sure you check that website. Lots of information on there, some of which we're going to hit today and some of which we won't be able to get to, and pretty much all the important details of the Children's Advocacy Center's work are on that website. Again, Deanna Sims from the Children's Advocacy Center, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims, and we move into some of the things that you do externally, moving a little bit beyond just the basic day-in, day-out, primary purpose-oriented things that the Children's Advocacy Center does. And community education and intervention support services are the two that I understand are areas of huge growth right now. Starting off, tell us what's going on with community education. You say it's been a major contributor to client growth.
Yes. As I said before, it's probably been one of the top reasons that we have grown so quickly. More children are making outcries. More teachers, counselors, and other school personnel are learning to recognize and report abuse. Our educators are actually our number one reporters of abuse in Smith County. Mm. But we are in those schools teaching children age-appropriate curriculum called Play It Safe. We're in every elementary school in Smith County, and we teach about safe and unsafe and confusing touches. We teach about good secrets and bad secrets. We teach about the importance of telling give an opportunity for children to understand. For those who have not been abused, it gives them an opportunity to understand about the importance of personal safety. And you know, we've been good about teaching our children about stranger danger. But like I said before, 9 out of 10 children know mm-hmm. their perpetrator.
Yeah.
So it's good for them to understand more specifically not only how to tell, but also how to keep themselves safe.
Intervention support services. Now, this is a new program, I understand.
Yes, it is. We actually have come to understand that 1 out of 10 children who have been abused are making outcries.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that 9 out of 10 children who have been abused are sitting in a classroom every day and not telling anyone.
Mm.
And those children may be acting out in different ways. They may be acting in defiance in the classroom. They may be very quiet and reclusive. But what we're hoping to do is to provide school personnel trauma-informed strategy to reach those children that are not making outcries.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to help them understand Our question we like to ask is not what's wrong with this child in this classroom, but what could have happened to this child.
Mm-hmm.
And we're teaching strategies to help educators be more sensitive to that. We've piloted this program in White House and Bullard, and it has had such a tremendous success
mm-hmm.
that we're now expanding to other schools.
Great. And parenting resources, something you've been doing for a while now, I guess, on the external level.
Yes, parenting education, anger management classes, support groups. We even help facilitate some girls that are at risk for trafficking, you know, all the trafficking issues that are going on in our society as well. Those underage children are also under our umbrella. So.
Okay. And how the community can help. So many ways a caring community can provide tangible help to these kids, recognizing and reporting abuse. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to give out that 1-800 number again, 1-800-252-5400 to report suspected child abuse. You can also call any local law enforcement agency or call 911 if it's an emergency. Anything else that you wanted to add along those lines?
Yes, we wanted to encourage people if they'd like to give in-kind donations. We give a blanket and a bear to every child who goes through a forensic interview. So we have a lot of people who are donating blankets and little bears to give to us to give to the children. Also, you can look on our website for wish list drives that you or your church or organization could put together. Also, financial support. We are always needing financial support. About half of our budget is privately funded here in our community, and you can go to our website and learn a little bit more about that. But one thing I would love is for you to actually contact me personally and come and take a tour. That helps a lot of people understand a little bit more about who we are and what we do. It gives you context, and you can contact me at my email address. It's on our website, but I'll also give it to you here. It's dsims@cacsmithcounty.org.
Okay. Jumping back just for a moment to recognizing and reporting abuse, I basically went over how to report abuse. Recognizing abuse is so important, and I think it goes without saying that these different educational opportunities that you offer throughout the community are a key piece of actually recognizing abuse. So you know when to call one of those emergency numbers.
That's right. And we actually have some information on our website, but we also want to encourage you, if you have a group that works specifically with children and you would like for our community educator to come and teach a recognizing and reporting course for your group, that is another thing that we do. We teach a lot of medical professionals, school professionals, all different kinds of groups that work with children specifically.
All right. Coming down close to the end of the show, got a few more minutes left with Deanna Sims from the Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County. I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. Ways people can volunteer. Now, you focus heavily on trained professionals. That is just vital to making sure that your work is done correctly. But there are also some volunteer opportunities, front desk work, checking inventory, helping with special events. How do people get in touch, and what do they need to know if they want to volunteer?
If you are interested in our cause and you want to help in some way through giving your time, I'd encourage you to look on our website or call our offices and get in touch with our volunteer coordinator. She would love to have you help us. Our front desk volunteers, we have about 25 of them, and they rotate throughout the year or throughout the week, either as substitutes or consistent volunteers at certain times, and they actually greet the families when they first come in for forensic interviews. We're very careful to provide a child-friendly environment for them. They answer the phone. They help us direct people. And they're a very integral part of what we do. But we also have a lot of events during the year, such as our cornhole tournament, our Blingo fundraiser, a lot of fun things that we do that we'd love to have you help with. But we also appreciate people who help with our resource center, our rainbow room, and our all of the inventory that we have there. So if you have a special skill or you have a special interest in helping us, I encourage you to volunteer now. Because we are a very secure facility, it does involve a background check.
Mm-hmm.
And but we would, you know, love to take care of that for you and process that for you and talk with you more about how you might like to get involved.
Sure thing. Speaking of special events, I think we maybe want to focus on the cornhole tournament because that's the next one up, I believe. That's April 25th at the Truvine Brewery, and it happens to be during April, which is Child Abuse Awareness Month, and I take it that more information will be coming out on that soon enough. But if you're into cornhole tournaments and you want to help a worthy cause, that's something to maybe save the date, April 25th at Truvine Brewery. A couple of other things. There's a video online that I know you want to draw people's attention to. Lots of wounded adults walking around Smith County, and one of them happens to be on this video, which I believe is worth checking out.
Well, and thankfully, she has been healed of her wounds, and I'm very thankful for that. But we have a young lady who is actually a minister here in town who came and was bringing diapers for a diaper drive from her church and walked into our facility. And as we were giving her an updated tour, I began to understand that she herself had been a victim of abuse. And you can hear her beautiful story of healing and just encouragement by looking at our website on the main page. And Amanda tells beautifully why it's so important to support these children in our community who have no voice mm-hmm. without the work we do.
You bet. That website, cacsmithcounty.org, by the way, just mention that one more time. Also, you're a teaching center. We don't have time to go into a lot of detail about this, but it's useful for folks to know that you're a teaching center and the only trauma-focused therapy teaching center in Smith County. And that really just kind of is a good way of wrapping up the story right there. You're so busy working with children who have been victims of abuse, but you do so many other things around the community, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of growth coming in the future as you see that your work is actually producing some very positive results in some very touchy situations. Deanna Sims, Executive Development Director of Children's Advocacy Center of Smith County, has been our guest this morning. Thanks, Deanna, for coming in. Appreciate your getting us up to date.
Oh, thank you. It's been my joy.
You bet. Deanna Sims, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. Thank you for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.